Welcome, everybody, to episode 189 of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. The last time we released an episode was January. Can you believe that?
Holy cow, and February is half over already, and we're just now recording.
Tsk, tsk.
I mean, I've recorded a podcast recently, just not this podcast.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, you've been on the left coast. I've been on the right coast. Been everywhere but recording podcasts. How shameful.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. It's been a busy time, I think, at work for Spence and the Buzzman. Spangler's clearly busy at work or shenanigans. Been a while since although he was on our last episode, so I shouldn't really say much because he was
very true. Yeah, that was a hoot. That was a good one.
It was.
I don't know. I'll never be able. Like, I understand that our friend Evan's daily repertory of being a veterinarian doesn't involve always sticking his hand up the rears of large animals, but I will always like. Just think that that's what he does. Just like large animal, like that.
All he does. It's the only thing he does. His job is to just do.
Because it's like, it's the funniest possible part of that job. And
it is.
At my core, absolutely. I'm still a middle schooler, right? Like I still,
yep.
Middle school, high school, I'm still wanting to like listen to The Offspring and wear like a puka shell necklace and drink some Sobe and, you know, gel my hair.
What's left of it,
right? Isn't that the truth? Yeah, get more face.
So I'll tell you this in a second, but the other thing that's funny to think about with Spangler is, and this was the point I was going to make and then I froze. He works in an ER as well. So anything that constitutes him putting his arm up a large animal's rear end is an emergency. So it's an emergency. It is urgent that he does. Like when you put all of that together in the same string of thought, you're like, wow, not only does he have to do that, but it is urgent that he does that. It is a life or death matter that he sticks his arm.
That's right. This animal's going to die. This doesn't happen now.
I don't shove my arm up there. Lord. Yep.
That's funny.
Yep. Anyway. Yes, anyway. No, the comment about the hair, it's Ash Wednesday yesterday, and my son came home from school and was like, yes, like, he's getting a haircut tomorrow, so this is funny. He goes, yes, Daddy, Mrs. Rasfeld told me I had to push my hair up so that I could get ashes. He goes, but you wouldn't have to do that because you don't have bangs like
that. Oh.
I'm like, thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Savage.
Thanks, dude.
Yes. Yes. That or the rest of the hair also. Yeah. Yeah. Just cut me to the quick while you're at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting more face to wash all the time. And it's a bummer.
Yep.
What can I say? What really frustrates me about the whole ordeal is that my dad has an excellent full thick head of hair, damn near bumping 70. And yes, at this point it's gone past gray and into white, but like it's a solid, sharp looking white. Like, yeah, it's just so impressive. And for me to have this garbage hair from my mother's side is just such an indignity.
that's what they say. I just kind of look at it. I think my boys will be fine.
Yeah,
anyway, well.
I don't have Elon Musk money yet, so it's not like I'm going to have hair replacements. Number one, I'm not that vain. Number two, that requires like multiple commas in your worth. Your monetary worth, obviously not your like self-worth or anything.
Correct.
Yeah. That's okay.
All right, so shall we get to it?
Yes, we shall.
Glass, wrist.
All right. I had on my Breitling Colt Chrono today. I took it off before giving the kids bath time, so I'm actually riding solo. And by solo, I mean nothing on the wrist right as of right
now. Wow.
I thought about running to fix that before I started right as I clicked record, so it's okay. Fun, actually? Okay, so frequent listeners of the podcast know that I've gone on a stupidly long stretch of being like, oh, yeah, it's the Black Bay. Oh, yeah, the Tudor again. The past, honestly, since our last time that we recorded, I've worn the Black Bay very little. Like maybe twice in the past 2 weeks. Been a lot of the Breitling, wore the Seiko 5 a little bit. It's been a nice little refreshing change of pace. So I think I'm going to put the Black Bay back on Oyster and get back to it for a little bit.
Yeah. Solid choice.
Yeah. So had that, and then I made a Manhattan tonight, the Buzz House Special. It's delicious. It's nutritious, and were I the idle rich, I'd be drinking pitchers per day, made by my valet, who would be impossibly clever, and would get up to all sorts of shenanigans, and when I'd get in difficult situations, he'd get me out of those situations very cleverly. Be regular Jeeves and Wooster from the P.G. Wodehouse novels, because I don't read those, the PBS shows. What about you? What how are you keeping the time these days? What's on your wrist? What are you drinking?
Well, so we will transition to beverages from the left coast here in a little bit, but what I have in the glass right now is also a Manhattan, and it is I think probably if one of the items or one of the ingredients were more readily available, although I guess we now found a way to make it more readily available. So any of you who are listening who are in law enforcement, don't. I have in the glass Michter's Rye, Method Vermouth, Orange Angostura Bitters, and a Fabri Amarena Cherry, of which there seem to be no end at this point.
As
I'm sure you're well aware.
So yeah, we have been cherry maxing in our household, and like I still open the jar and see them at the very top. Like, yeah.
Yep. Yes. So that to me is my house Manhattan. And I think of all the ryes that I have had, you know, outside of the Maysville rye, which again is a little bit harder to source and a little bit pricier. I think for what it is, man, Michter's just really good, like nice and just a little bit more flavorful. Like just really enjoy.
I like the idea of the orange bitters on that.
You know, it I will tell you this. I can't remember whether or not a Boulevardier calls for bitters. I don't think it does. Yeah. Oh, it does? Okay. I tend to use them in that too, because the orange peel, the orange bitters, I think go incredibly well in that drink. So does Method Vermouth. Although I will describe one that I sent a picture of to you later. That was absolutely phenomenal, insanely overpriced, but absolutely phenomenal. That is what I'm drinking on the wrist. I am wearing on the left wrist, wearing the Oris ProPilot X 40 millimeter caliber 400. You know, it's funny because there are certain watches, and the funny thing is I have multiple of these, and I've long said this, like, you wear this, you're like, man, I could potentially wear this like all the time. This thing is just so good. It's so light. It hugs the wrist. It's thin. Like, I could absolutely wear this every day, but then I do the same thing with the El Primero, say the same thing about the Speedy. Like, you're like, okay, well, it's the nice thing about the watches in the collection is you could wear one, the same one, every day for a week and not get sick of it. But then the only reason like I would change is because I'd want to wear another one. So, yeah, no, it was, I guess, do you want to just jump right into the quick trips that we took? Well, so it was fun for me. I don't think you got to meet anybody watch related on yours, unfortunately. But I had a work trip out to LA and the LA area and was able to time my flight so that I got in a few hours before my commitment started. So I was able to meet the boys from Spirit of Time in person for I guess not really a late lunch West Coast time, but like a 4 p.m. lunch when you account for this. Like, my body clock was messed up for a full like 36 hours, but like it was, we met at Mercado, a little Mexican place, or not little, but like a Mexican place in Pasadena, where McD and Greg are from, and just had a wonderful time, had an excellent margarita, had a beer, had a great chili rellenos. Not normally what I would go for, but McD made the recommendation and I was like, you know, I'm just going to pick, like, my other go-to is to pick two random tacos off the menu or whatever. Like, you're the local guy. I'm going. And it was absolutely delicious. We talked a little bit about, we talked some F1, which was a ton of fun. We got to talk about the silly season for 2025 that already started pre-2024 season. And just got, it was so cool to meet them in person and hang out. Like, just absolutely, like, we chat all the time. I talk to them on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, done a couple episodes of their show. But like, to actually, like, shake a hand, give a hug, like, sit down, have a meal and talk. It was just awesome. It was really neat. And then, I'll talk a little bit more what we talked about, but the other guy I want to give a shout out to is I ended up in another part of Southern California and met up with another listener, at the hotel bar that's near his office. And I will say, I don't want to necessarily put him on blast, but he knows who he is. And it was absolutely great catching up. We didn't even really talk about watches. We just like talked about life and it was fantastic. Like, the best part was, though, I have one true Flyer GMT in my collection, the Grand Seiko. So I wore that on the trip because, you know, it was the one, like one of the few trips I take to other time zones. And I wore it and McD had on his Shunbun and this other listener, had on his, 44 GS. I don't know exactly the reference number, but it was like, it was so perfect that like every person I met with, who was watch related was also wearing a Grand Seiko. Just like, it was like, oh, this, the stars like just aligned. And it was not discussed prior at all. Like nothing was supposed to, just happened organically that McD and my other buddy were both wearing their GSs. It was absolutely perfect.
That's phenomenal. That looked like a wonderful, wonderful trip when you guys sent a picture that you're out there. I was instantly jealous, but also happy for you. That's the dream, right? Be able to see friends, whether you've met them before in person or not, be able to meet friends kind of as an added benefit of doing your business travel.
Oh, for sure. Well, and I will say, so going back to beverages, some of the people that we were there with, who we are clients of, were taking us in, and they were hyping this place in Dana Point. So we were down in Dana Point. There's a restaurant at the Waldorf Astoria, not to sound too hodinky here by any means, but like they take us to the Waldorf Astoria. The name of the restaurant is the Bourbon Steak Restaurant. And they are big on their bourbon and their steak. Steak was excellent, but they were the guy we were there with, or one of the guys we were there with, was really hyping the smoked old fashioned, which you know, the maitre d' kind of mixes, and they have a bourbon cart. They bring it out. He gives you the whole spiel about, like, they smoke the glass, not over the drink. Like, yeah. So they light the wood on fire. They turn the glass on top. They're doing this. He's talking you through that, talking about why you mix it a certain way, like how you don't mix it over ice, why you pour it on the side. So you don't pour it over the ice. You pour it down the side of the glass so it doesn't melt the ice and dilute the drink, smoke to the last drop. And then I notice on there, I'm like, okay, I'm not as big of an old fashioned guy. Like, I like them. I prefer a Manhattan, but I notice on the same cocktail list, there is a barrel aged Boulevardier.
No,
you don't see Boulevardiers on the list very often. Like, you can, like bartenders know what they're doing. They can make them. They know what they are, but like, that's not normally a popular cocktail. So it's right there at the same part of the menu as the smoked old fashioned. It's on the same cart. So I was like, all right, I want the Boulevardier. So the presentation with the smoking or whatever was very, very cool. And the gentleman, the maitre d', gave us a really good introduction on what a Boulevardier is. Both of them used Jefferson's rye, the ocean aged rye. So like, they talked about a lot about how they ship the barrels out to sea and they do this. So they said, what we do is we actually mix it with that, and it talks us through the ingredients. And actually, we put it in a barrel and it goes out on our boat out in the Pacific for 2 to 3 weeks. We bring it in, we do that, whatever. The coolest thing he did, though, he was talking about how in an old fashioned, you zest the orange and you want the oils, and that's what gives it like its citrusy flavor. But because you've got the Campari in the Boulevardier, you don't want the same overpowering like citrus bitters. You actually want to smoke the oils. So he took like a slightly bigger chunk to the orange twist, and he really squeezed it. Like, he didn't just twist it like you would otherwise. He like squeezed it all in half so you could get like the oils out of the skin. And then I don't know how he did this without burning his fingers, but he took a lighter and he lit it, and it was like a small fireball. And then he dropped that in the drink after it was the coolest thing, because now you get not only do you get the acidic flavors of this from this, but it's not from the peel, but it's got the smoke because we just lit it on fire and then, you know, let it burn itself out. So that'll add the smoke to the Boulevardier and not like get lost in the citrusy flavor from the Campari. So that was really cool. It's a really good drink. If you want to spend way too much money on cocktails, go check it out. If you're ever in Dana Point, but like, yeah, just.
Yeah. But I have never had a smoked cocktail that I was fully satisfied with. I've always felt that they've been too smoky, if you will. So that's, cause I have tried them before. It's funny. It's been a while, obviously, since I've been out to a decent cocktail bar, but, what?
When we go into Frankfurt again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's the last time. That's the last time.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Make a trip. Guess so. Yeah, gotta have a friend's birthday to go out for, and yeah, good thing that was walking distance back to our Airbnb. Not particularly close, but by sheer force of stupidity, yeah, you're able to walk back there.
Yes,
that's the fun thing. Frankfort, Kentucky is a really beautiful little hamlet. And, completely not at all having like Ubers and stuff that work, or yeah, it takes you back to the before times, right? Where you would call a cab company and, you know, oh yeah, we'll be there, and they just never show, or they don't even pick up the phone.
Yep.
Honestly, maybe that wasn't the worst thing in the world, like in our college days, that we didn't have reliable wheels to get off campus. Just think of, that might honestly be for the better, right?
Yeah. Might have been.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I had a trip out east. I'm going to be doing a little bit more work with a different part of the business. And it was very uneventful. I don't even remember if I saw a decent watch in the airport or something. Interestingly enough, I flew into Newark, but the new terminal there, because I was used to the old part that, you know, where everything the post security part is just out on little piers, and the piers are like, they're kind of like a bus terminal if there were airplanes instead of buses, right? It's very crowded and not a lot of amenities. So very much liked going into the new terminal. It was pretty, it was incredible. I thought that the airplane took us to the wrong city. I said, there's no way in hell this is Newark. So yeah, seriously, Newark, big ups on the new terminal. So unfortunately, our campus is like 30 or 40 minutes west of Newark, which takes me directly away from like our buddy Brodinky and our mutual friend Furman. Like, it's gonna be very tough to try to sneak any of that sort of fun in there. I will say, any listeners, if you're in that general area, feel free to hit me up on DMs. Maybe we could get together, on a future trip. But yeah, no, it went well. It was funny. I did get to see a lot of people that I'd worked with on previous projects. It was kind of like homecoming week. Everyone thought that I must have been Mr. Popular or something just because I saw a bunch of people that I knew. Not nearly as exciting. There's no Greg and McD. No smoked cocktails. Actually took it kind of easy on all of that. Some damn good Italian food, though. I was very pleased.
In New Jersey, imagine that.
I actually decided to start watching The Sopranos because I figured I ought to get to understand the culture a little better. Yeah, we're a whole like three or four episodes in, and it's fantastic because once again, like, okay, that was filmed in, I think, 1999 or so. So mentally, that's still where I'm at. It's scratching me where I itch, and that's a good thing.
So do you want a live update of something? I'm recording a podcast, and my wife sends me from the Wall Street Journal via the Apple News app. Classic Rolex, yawn, meet the new class of status watches. I'm wearing almost one of them currently. Our friend Watch Symmetry has the ProPilot X with the laser etched dial. That is one of them. My wife has the other one, although not in the same colorway. So two of the 2, 4, 6. I've got a full third. I own a full third almost.
Well, look at you go. You're just so status.
I know. Look at me. Yeah. Yeah. Why be just another routine guy whose watch has a white dial and a silver strap? There you go. So it's the Laser PPX or ProPilot X caliber 400, the Grand Seiko white birch. I thought it was a brew, although I would substitute the brew for this one, the True Square Undigital from Rodeau, which, come on, that looks like a brew.
Yeah,
it does. And then the Venture Singularity from Boulder, the Boulder Ventures, that's the one with the like ultra black dial from Boulder. And then, you've got the Nomos, Tetra, which, my wife has a version of that we picked up at Whiskey. And then the Bell and Ross BR03 copper. So, three square
tip
watches.
To be square.
Out of the six. I know.
It's Steely Dan out here and the news. We're talking some sports. Talking four.
Yeah. The funny thing about that is four of them were square. I think the only one above $5,000 in that entire thing was the Grand Seiko. Like, that's, I mean, the Oris is close.
And what's going on?
Like, other than that, they were all sub three.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
You got a lot.
Anyway, barring that brief
aside. It's a good aside. Doing that live.
It was a good aside. We're doing it live. Speaking of doing it live, you know what dropped today?
What dropped?
Space Connies.
Space Connies? What?
Space Connies. You froze for a second. I missed it. What did you say?
Our podcast's favorite watch that we're very passionate about and about someday owning.
Yes. Yes. That somehow on the latest episode of Wrist Cheese Radio, Schmitty was talking up and we didn't even get a mention. Like, we've been hyping the Connies since before they existed. Come on, Schmidt. Come on.
It's cold-blooded.
Come on. Okay.
It's okay. Cold. You're allowed to love the Connie. That's what I do it for. I just want to spread love. Yes, you told me about the Space Connies in our pre-production meeting, which is us BSing a few minutes before we hit record.
Yeah.
And I pulled here like, what's the matter? You haven't seen about the Space Connies? You don't know about the Space Connies? I'm like, well, I'm off Instagram and Facebook for Lent. And you're like, well, I mean, you could just Google like meteorite dial Connies, but how would you know to do it unless...
Exactly. You need me to tell you to do this.
Yeah.
Tell you to do this.
You're going to have to be my my cultural connect these next 46 days.
The other one, so clearly you haven't seen this other message, and this bears telling you, because normally we exchange funny posts on Instagram. It was from like an engineering account. It says, can somebody tell me if you've ever used the Pythagorean theorem in real life? And a pro golfer's caddy responded back to it and said, yes, at the last tournament to calculate whether or not our three wood could get over the tree that's 100 yards down the way. So the answer was yes, golf caddies.
You dropped this crown, King.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Whatever geometer King Pythagoras stole that formula from is very proud.
Yes.
Back to Space Connies, dude. I pulled up the article on Monochrome, and the full gold meteorite dial that is also gold. By the way, the sweetest part is how the dial, the bezel, right, with the Roman numerals, how the numerals are up and polished, and then the rest of just like the claws on the side, and then it's like stippled for contrast. Oh, that's so good.
That's why the 39 or 38 or whatever it is better than the 41 with the ceramic bezel, because you don't get it out of the ceramic, and it is so good.
Yeah.
Rumor also has it from our friend at Watch Symmetry. Again, not rumor. He probably knows this. I didn't click on any of the articles. I was just drooling over the pictures. They put in the movement that has the jumping hour function as well, which
is awesome. So. Yeah, jumping hour. So I know I've said this before, and guess what? I'm going to say it again. Quartz watches. Everyone knows that I dig on quartz a lot more than the average watch idiot savant. They really need to be putting trick features in quartz more often. My Colt has a jumping hour. Now, it doesn't have a quick set date, but guess what? Most of the time with a quartz, you're never going to be that far off on date. And the fact that you can quick set the hours away to catch up on the date and still know that your minutes and seconds are going, you know, you don't have to reset those. Mm-hmm. It's pretty handy. So you've got the quick set jumping hour for time zones and very similar functionality for date change. Sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Like, That's a function that should almost be on more, like, although I guess then that if you had a GMT function with that, then you'd end up with a flyer GMT. Although in fairness, if Miyota can make that or Citizen can make that and put it in watches that are sub $700, what does everybody else?
Exactly. Use? Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
The Sedna Gold's very, very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. That's another Borat reference for today.
Oh, yeah.
Our podcast's favorite watch that we're very passionate about, but no one owns yet, with a cool art dial, which art dials, I feel, are also a watch enjoyer favorite. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Grand Seiko is essentially art dials. Like, that's too simplistic. But if I had to describe Grand Seiko in two words, I don't know, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, if I only had CHF 40,000 to 46,000 or euro 46,000 euros to get that gold one.
What does the steel one go for? I'm curious.
The meteorite dials are 10.3 grand in euros for the blue, 10.7 for the silver and the green in euros.
So, but are those on the ceramic or with the steel bezel?
41 millimeter. So ceramic.
I would want the...
Those prices include taxes, though, so, you know.
Yeah, things are all over the place.
I don't know. Something like this is obviously, like, way too much money for me, but I'm...
Ooh, okay, so if you want them in U.S. dollars, they're cheaper. $9,700 for the blue or the black and the green. The blue is $9,300, and you're right. But see, the blue. Okay, so here we go. I could be on board with the blue because the blue, while it is 41 millimeters, has a steel bezel. So, like, and it's got the I could be on board there. I could go with a 41 for the blue. Not for the other ones.
I love it that I pulled up just to... Okay, here's a fun... This is a fun game for the listener at home because I think that you'll like... That Spence, you know, cause I'm presuming that you've pulled up their website. Okay.
I have.
The Omega... Well, I guess it's Omega. Constellation range.
It's Omega.
Listeners at home... How many watches do you think are displayed? I'll give you a second or two to think about it. What do you think?
On the entire range,
constellation of the range.
So just to let everybody know, I have just the meteorite dial pulled up. Just what they dropped. 20 watches in just the meteorite dials. Because there's some ladies' watches. Honestly, some of these ladies' watches
are
pretty sick.
Yeah, they are.
If I'm being totally honest, those are pretty sick too.
Okay, listeners at home, I will get you out of your suspense. 438 watches displayed.
Holy cow!
Yeah, I don't think Rolex has produced 438 different watches the entirety of their existence. No, I mean that's. That's exaggeration, everyone. I was trying to explain exaggeration to my 5-year-old earlier. But Yeah, that is, it's insane. That is, that's a large number of watches. Yep.
Yeah. It are. It are.
So.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, I think they look really good. I'm kind of hope Richter gets one because I want to see one of those in person. They look really cool.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, should we move on to a slightly
different topic?
And we'll keep this decently short, just given the hour. And my oldest has a 7 o'clock haircut tomorrow pre-kindergarten. So we'll all be up early and out to go see
Guido.
Oh, yeah. I was just there today because the middle child had one. So how we roll. Anyway, one of the topics that I don't know how I, you know what it was wrist cheese. They were talking about a couple of different releases here and there. And I was just thinking about it because Zenith came out. And there weren't really a ton of new Zenith releases recently. The triple calendar, I don't know that we talked about it, but the triple calendar, Chronomaster, in like the non-Zaytona case is phenomenal. Just absolutely a banger of a watch. And I got to thinking, you know, with Watches and Wonders coming up, and you just kind of go back the last several years, I would be hard pressed to find another watch brand that has one released as many watches as Zenith has and had as many bangers out of that bunch. Like color, what I will say is if I like the watch, but I don't like the new colorway, that doesn't make it a bad watch or a bad release. It just means I don't like that color. There's probably somebody who it's for. If the watch is still dope, it's still a good watch. It's just like, purple's not my thing. You know what I mean? Like that just, there's not an exact example of that, but like that color is not for me, but the other colors in the range are, so whatever. You got to keep it fresh. But I look back on it. The triple calendar was great. The Chronomaster Sport in titanium looks really good. I know this is hypocritical of me who's currently wearing a titanium watch with a gray dial, but for some reason, the gray dial with the two other gray subdials and only one blue subdial just, it's a lot of gray for me. Again, I realize I'm wearing a solidly gray watch while saying this. The irony is not lost on me. But there are no subdials on this watch. The watch has subdials. I want contrast. But it looks cool. Triple calendar is great. The new trick movement doesn't do it for me, but the design of the Chronomaster Sport and their like Daytona-ish. I don't know the difference between the Chronomaster. Oh, it's the Chronomaster and the Chronomaster Sport. Those two watches are phenomenal. The 38 millimeter Zenith, which I own one, they are probably one of the best wearing watches ever. They're phenomenal.
Very good.
The new Pilot line is, like, compared to the old Pilot line, a huge departure in a fantastic way. I actually really love that new Pilot line. I don't know that I would wear it as much as I would wear something else because they mainly come on straps and I'm a bracelet guy. But like the design of that is so much better than the old like massive big crown 44 millimeter Pilot that they did. I mean, and then I like the Skyliner or the Skyliner, whichever one it is, whatever it's called. I actually think that case looks great. I think the movement is cool. I don't know that I like the 10th of the second down at the, or the, you know what I mean? At the 10 second right. Subdial. Again, I get what they're trying to highlight from the movement technology. It's a little bit crazy, but like the watch looks phenomenal. I love the way the watch looks. And then let's not, like, I don't know that it's not for everybody. I love the Defy Classic with the 12 sided bezel and like the ladder bracelet. I think that's just a cool, awesome, modern interpretation of an old design and the shadow for anything that gets the shadow treatment. They absolutely nail anything that's in that sandblasted dark titanium. Just chef's kiss. I don't know that anybody has had that kind of a streak. I mean, even the one that they did with the British DJ in the Defy Extreme category looks good. I mean, I don't have $20,000 to drop on a two-tone 45 millimeter 100th of a second chronograph. But part of me kind of wishes I did because it looks really
good.
Come
on. Yeah. It's a real problem for men to have hobbies these days, huh? Come on, drop 20 grand on a ridiculous watch. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think that Zenith is... I don't know. I'm terrible with superlatives, which makes for terrible podcasting. But sorry, guys. You're listening. Mm-hmm. I think that Zenith is at the top of the list of brands that I wish had wider distribution. Because...
Yes.
Like... I love the fact that I've been able, yeah, to see the one that you have, and but there's a lot of Zeniths, like the Defy Classics. I'd love to see in the metal, so to speak, because I think I really like them. But the nearest AD is quite a far bit away, so. Yeah, they've been on a great run. I have a counterpoint, though.
Okay.
And it is a past couple of years counterpoint. Okay.
So not as deep of a run, but putting together a little bit of a run.
You be the judge of this.
Okay.
What about our friends at Tissot with the PRX line? So they brought the original re-edition, the quartz re-edition of the PRX out in February of 2021. They brought out the Powermatic 80, you know, several months later. Mm-hmm. Then they brought out the Steel and Gold, the Chronograph. They brought out like the mini 35 millimeter Powermatic. They even brought out the, like, bonkers, like, digital display ones.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
And they did a loom dial as well.
So that's a full-fledged, new, honestly, sub-brand, right? Like, that's, like, coming out with the entire Constellation line. For example, right? And to be fair, like, okay, I knew Tissot way before that with my old roommate that had the T-Touch. Talk about trick quartz watches.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Okay, like, yeah, there is the, like, gentleman... Is it called? It's called the Gentleman or something. With the Powermatic 80 kind of field / dress mm-hmm. watch, very nice looking kind of anodyne watch. But I mean, the PRX. That's what all the watch nerds know and dig and love about that. So I would say that that's like the most dynamic, important part of their lineup. It certainly has the greatest mind share among the watch enthusiasts about there. Although we also obviously know that the vast majority of people that buy watches are not the sort of people that listen to watch podcasts and, you know, put out 189 watch podcasts.
The thing that I will say to you, and it's a very... That's a very valid counterpoint. And I wouldn't... Where I would disagree with you is Tissot has had a big hit and they've done a lot of things with it that haven't seemed derivative. Meaning, for a while there with all the LE speedies we were getting from it's like, oh, it's Tuesday. There's a new Speedwatch. There's Speedmaster. Like, there's a new... Omega's gotten away from that. What Tissot has done with that collection, I think to your point, every new release has been like, oh, that's cool. Like, it hasn't been it's like that, but this. It's like this, oh, it's derivative. It's like, no, it's been, oh, that's the same thing we know and love, and it's not just a new color. It's this, it's that, it's that. has worked. But that is the, what I would say for Tissot is that's just one line, whereas Zenith has done it in different lines, which I think elevates it a little bit. Now, granted, you could also say too, Tissot has so many SKUs and so many things that like, and given where they're at and how many customers they're trying to serve, the fact that they have a line that is an absolute smashing hit is phenomenal. And I think to your point, I've seen that watch on more normies than other watches that I would like. Other watches I'd be like, oh, I've got that, or oh, I know what that is. I see that one more frequently, both quartz and automatic, on normies than any other watch, which I think is pretty cool.
And one I get that point, because the definitely what Zenith has done is a wider, they've created some great hits in a wider part of their range, right? Multiple properties, yep, which is difficult. And I don't know which one's the more difficult feat, right? Also, I mean, they're obviously at vastly different price points. And to a certain point, both of those have their headaches.
Yes.
But I just, they came top of mind today because I received an email from Tissot that they've got a Damien Lillard limited edition, which is just
it's a so good looking watch.
Good, man.
It's a good looking watch.
Yeah,
it's a good looking watch.
Got the gold PVD and the seconds counterweights got a D. And the dial is not the waffle dial, but it's slightly elongated. It looks super sharp. I don't know, like, obviously several years ago, if anyone told you, like, oh yeah, like Tissot's doing an LE with one of the biggest stars in the NBA, you'd raise your eyebrow. You say you must be on the drugs, sir.
The only thing I will say about that is I think for quite some time Tissot has been the official timekeeper of the NBA. So that's the only thing I would like. But yes, I mean, to get a star of that quality or of that stature in Dame, I think is it's a pretty big get.
It's not like the Kyle Korver T-Touch. I love Kyle Korver, by the way. It's not shot at him. For a while, me and the boys in my other group chat were playing Name a Random Cavs Player. It was great. World Be Free. It was good. I love also at the Dame Ellie first 100 purchases receive signed presentation box. Very cool.
There you go. Very cool.
Good work.
I mean,
strong work.
It's the funny thing about it is, like, I mean, I know technically they model the PRX off of a watch from their back catalog, but they definitely modernize it in a way that it's the fact what you get for that price point still just kind of boggles the mind. And what I will say is in some ways too, like if you want a direct comparison to Zenith, I mean, the Chronomaster Sport was in some ways a new model. Some ways you could say it looked a lot like a Daytona. The Chronomaster, obviously a continuation of the model they had discontinued the previous year, the one that I own, like it just slight differences, more true to the original from a couple of aspects on the dial. But again, an update with a new movement of a watch. I think the closest thing that Zenith has done to kind of creating something new is what they did to their Pilot line. And when you think about that, like it's a totally new design compared to what their previous Pilot lines had looked like.
Yes.
And I think they absolutely nailed it. I think that's what Tissot has done. That's what Zenith has. And so, like, if you want to focus on just one specific line, I think that's what's made it most impressive is they've got new watches, and in some ways, like I said, the PRX was based on a kind of long forgotten model. It wasn't like it was an update of something that Tissot had. It was like, oh, we have this cool watch in the back catalog, let's modernize it. And then the Pilot line, it was, well, we have this line that's not really doing anything, let's actually come up with a new design and bring it forward. Like, I think that's the most impressive thing, is that both of these lines really, I don't say came out of nowhere, but nobody was expecting them, and the designs are phenomenal. So I think that, and that is really hard to do right now. So I think that's what's cool about it. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Maybe we won't wait another month to record another podcast.
Yeah, that's probably a swell idea.
No guarantees, though.
Nope.
March is going to be busy, and there's vacation involved.
Well, that's so good.
Not doing this on a vacation, I can tell
you that. That's very good. Yeah, I've got... Oh, I just realized I've got carryover days that I have to burn this first quarter. Goodness.
You've got about half and a half.
Yeah, exactly. I better get on that. Well, cool.
Can't be losing that time off.
No. No, I refuse.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing else left to be said on the topic. Until next time, dear listener.
See ya.